Okay, I think that's it, yeah, we're good.
Did you unmute yourself?
Yeah, I think it's on me. Yeah. All right, Joel, yeah, thank you.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين اللهم ينفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما كريما يا رب العالمين اللهم نسألك علما نافعا ورزقا واسعا وشفاء لكل داء آمين رب العالمين إن شاء الله تعالى everyone's doing well الحمد لله I'm sorry about the delay last week was an issue also apologize for that canceling last week something that came up on Saturday, went out to Joshua Tree. I don't know if you guys ever been to Joshua Tree. Yeah. So we came home super late and I was like, nah, I'm probably not gonna be ready for a class the next day. And today I didn't have enough charge to get to the masjid, but anyhow, in my car. But alhamdulillah, so we're here. We're doing the second series here, or the second session on the life of the grave. And this is probably all that we need to kind of cover the about the life in the grave. And then today we'll start on talking about the resurrection. When people come out of the grave and what happens to them. So I'll just allude to that a bit, and then we'll continue that next week. So just as a review, because we missed, you know, last week, what we talked about 2 weeks ago, we talked about how that when they're people are in the grave, we talked about the different things. Is it the body or is it the soul? And the name the body in the grave is very deceiving. We said that the real term is barzakh in Arabic. Barzakh means a barrier. Right, in Christianity, they use the word purgatory, right? Which means that it's a barrier, meaning that you can't go back into the previous world and you can't go on to the next world. So you're kind of trapped, if you will, okay? And we said that it's where the souls are at, if you will. Now, if you go to the grave, you'll see how there's a body on the ground, right? If you dig it up, and nobody should dig up graves, but if someone will do that, they'll find a body there. But the souls are in this other realm called barzakh, okay? And we talked about the best way to describe that is like when you go to sleep. When you go to sleep, we believe as Muslims, and Allah mentions this in the Quran, that your soul comes out of your body and it wanders, etc. Right? And but if you would pinch somebody while they're asleep, they'll react, even though their soul is gone. You know, they're moving around, if you will. So when we talk about the punishment or the bliss in the grave, that the body is there, it's feeling. But the soul is feeling whatever the soul is feeling to extent, okay? Like when you have a bad dream, for example, right? You're sleeping and then you could be sweating while you're sleeping and your body could shake and people moan sometimes, you know, when they're, and some people wake up and they start screaming, right? So while someone's sleeping, they could still be shaking, they'd be sweating, they could be shivering, right? The body's reacting to coldness or whatever they're seeing, even though the soul is technically not in the body. Right? And that's why sometimes I don't urge anyone to do this, but like, you know, you could actually open people's eyes up while they're sleeping. I don't know if you ever did that. I used to do this to my mom when she was sleeping, because it's weird, because sometimes even little kids do this time. They sleep and their eyelids are not always down, but then you're like, but they're sleeping. You know, they're looking at you, right? So it doesn't matter if the eyes are open or not, and if on other extreme, if you've ever been to see someone who's in a coma, you know, their eyes could be staring right at you, but they're either brain dead or there something else is happening to them, you know. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from that. But this, you know, the soul could be gone, but even though the eyes might be open. So that's one thing about how the scholars kind of interpreted when the body's in the grave, there's punishment going on, there's bliss going on, depending, but you will not necessarily see that. The soul is in another body. Now, when we talk about barzakh, we're talking about a barrier, right? So as Muslims, we believe the soul cannot go back in this world. We have Halloween coming up, right? So people think, you know, like souls could wander around, ghosts, you know, someone's in the attic, you know, they're making, you know, knocking on the door. That stuff, we don't believe that happens in Islam, okay? Because the soul cannot, it's over. They cannot try to, you know, do something else in this world. Their life is over, their soul is over, their body's over. Now, whatever people see of like abnormal activity or paranormal activity, right? That is, you know, either there's another being called jinns that we know of, and jinns, we cannot see them, So it's almost like a ghost extent. But they could do certain things in this physical world that might affect people or might make noises or might do certain things. Christianity, of course, has exorcisms and stuff like this too. We believe in those type of things also. But of course, that goes on to another big discussion about what can jinns physically do, what they cannot do. But that's how we would explain that. It could be also that the window was open and the wind was blowing and that's why the thing was moving in the corner. Of course, that stuff happens also, right? So barzakh, that the souls are in this realm, that's not of this world, and they stay there once someone passes away. And 2 weeks ago, we went over how that soul is pulled out of the body. If you're a believer, it pulls out very easy. If you're a disbeliever in Allah, then it's very painful. And we talked about how it goes up to the skies and it comes back down and reunites in the body. We talked about the questioning in the grave, right? What are the three main questions are asked?
Who could, what is your God? What is your religion? And who is your messenger?
Very good, right? Who is your God? Who did you worship? What is your religion? What did you live by? And who is your messenger? Who did you follow in this world, right? And some people might say business, some people might say money, some people say do smoke, right? And so those are the questions. And depending on your questions in the grave by the two angels, whatever happens at that is what's going to follow. So we said the believer will have, they'll see their place in Jannah. They'll see a nice garden and it will be open to them. They only can see it. They can't go there yet, right? That's the next step, right? But it'll comfort them in the grave. And a companion will come in their grave. We talked about the companion is your good deeds. So the person that has a really nice, beautiful face will come and the person will ask, who are you? So I'm your good deeds that you did in this world. I'm here to kind of keep you company. And if you're not a good person, then the person with a big, you know, not looking good face is there in the grave for that person. And there's different torments we talked about. Now, I don't know if you guys kind of remember, we went over like three or four major torments. So the dream that the Prophet ﷺ had, if you guys remember the hadith, and he went over, someone was, you know, people that used to not read the Quran and follow it, people that was involved in interests, right? People that used to tell lies, right? These people had different, we talked about ripping their mouth open, talking about, you know, people involved in adultery, that was the fourth one. The fire was burning them, and they're in this punishment over and over again until the day of resurrection starts. Resurrection meaning that people's bodies come up from the grave, right? So there's a lot of this stuff that kind of happens. So that was kind of like what we went over last week to extend. We also went how you could protect yourself from the punishment of the grave. We talked about your deeds will come and it will come around your body and protect you while you're in the grave, or barzakh yani. And if punishment will come, then it will push away that punishment and so forth. We talked about those type of things. So just kind of a quick review of what we mentioned from last week, or 2 weeks ago, I should say. So this week, we're going to go on a hearing what goes on into the grave. We kind of alluded to that. Who is protected from the punishment of the grave? The grave speaks. Do souls meet each other? The bliss of the grave. And then we'll talk a little bit about resurrection. I don't have slides on it, but we're going to have a little discussion on it, inshallah. So barzakh, just kind of go over. Where do we get this name barzakh? I kind of didn't go over this 2 weeks ago. So there's a verse in Surah Mu'minun, chapter number 23 in the Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, that talks about a person says, I might do righteousness in that which I left behind. So a person who left this world is asking to go back, right? That I can do, I'll do good now. I learned my lesson. But that lesson's already done already. Can't be learned now. No, it will be said to that person, it is only a word that he is saying, and behind them there is a barrier, there's a barzakh, until the day of resurrection. So that's where the word barzakh comes. You can see it in Arabic right here, the word barzakh, right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about how many people will have regrets while they're in the grave. They want to come back, but Allah will not let them come back, right? Once you're gone in that grave, you had your chance. That's why it's really important to warn people now. Some people might take heed, some people might not. Okay? So that's where that comes from. Hearing what goes on to the grave. So we kind of went over 2 weeks ago, when the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, heard about punishment that was going on in the grave. And he said that these two people are being punished. He's the only one that can hear it. And he told the people, those two people are being punished for something that you might not think is great. So say, Ya Rasulullah, why are they being punished for? And remember, if you guys remember, the two things he said was namima, which means instigating, right? So I say, like, you know what? I know this person that's talking bad about you, right? I don't think he likes you. I'm trying to instigate you to go fight with him, right? So people do that, or spread rumors and try to get people to pit each other against each other. And then talk about the person that they would not take precautions when they will use a bathroom, right? So urine would get on their clothes and so forth like this. We talked about how that important, how it's really important in Islam. We have this hadith here where the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, was going on with us when his companions were narrating this. He's going with us toward the dwellings of Bani Najjar. There's a tribe called Bani Najjar. Riding upon his pony, it shed, and he was about to fall off. It shook, and he's about to fall off the horse or whatever, etc. And he found 4 to 5, 6 graves that were there in front of him. So the animal stopped himself, right? He said, who amongst you knows those lying in these graves? Who knows who's the grave of these people? So one person said, I do. Thereupon the Prophet said, what state did they die in? He said, they died in a polytheist. They used to worship multiple different gods. Not only Allah, but different things, different gods they used to make up. So he said that these people are passing through the ordeal in the grave. They're going through a punishment in the grave. If it were not for the reason that you will stop burying your dead in the graves on listening to the torment in the grave, which I am listening to. So he's saying that if Allah made it that you could hear what's going on to the grave, you'll stop burying your people. You'll keep them above ground because you don't want to put them in the grave because you know what's happening. So he's saying that Allah made it that you don't hear what's going on there, so you at least put your bury your dead. Okay. I would have certainly made you hear that. And turning his face towards us, he says, seek refuge to the grave, seek refuge to the grave. So here the Prophet actually heard what's going on there. Right? And that's something that's special with him. Obviously, we don't hear anything. If you go to the grave, you can put your ear onto the ground, you will not hear anything that's going on, right? Everything's happening in this barzakh, this land, if you will. Okay? So the Prophet had this kind of special attribute, if you will. Then who is protected from the punishment of the grave? We kind of didn't go over this too much last week, or 2 weeks ago. Number one is a martyr. The Prophet talked about a martyr, that one of their rewards are that they will be protected from the punishment of the grave. Now, a martyr in any civilization is a great reward. Right, they use their life to protect others, if you will. A murabit in Arabic means the one who stands guard over an army. It's like you have an army camp here, and you tell someone to go over there and watch out, and make sure no one's coming our way. That person has to go by themselves. You know, it's kind of dangerous, you know, to sit there and make sure no enemy is coming. And so that person that picks on that job, obviously me and you won't be able to, we're not doing this today, but anyhow. Dying on a Friday. Okay. The Prophet says, "Ma min Muslim yamutu yawm al-Jum'ah aw layla Jum'ah illa waqahu Allahu fitnatul grave." So the Prophet said that whoever dies on a Friday or the night of Friday. What does night of Friday mean? Night of Friday.
Thursday,
Friday.
Sorry? After Maghrib on Thursday.
On Maghrib or Thursday, exactly. Very good, brother. So because we believe that the day starts when the sun goes down. So that when the sun goes down, technically the next day starts. That's how we, as Muslims, that's how we kind of see it, if you will. Okay. So Thursday night after the sun sets until Friday until the sun sets, if anyone dies on that day, no Muslim dies on the day, except that Allah protects him from the crowds of the grave. Right? That's a blessing that if someone dies on a Friday. Of course, you don't get to choose that time. That's whenever that happens. Right? And then this is very interesting here, the Prophet says, the one who has a stomach disease, that dies from a type of stomach disease, that they get this reward. And why did he pick that amongst other types of disease? Allahu alam. Could be like, obviously people go through a lot of things when they're in their stomach, etc. And there's a lot of stomach disease, so I don't know exactly medically what would that entail, but that's something the Prophet mentioned there. Okay. The grave, speaking, that's a pretty long hadith here. I'm going to break it up into two pieces here. Where the Prophet talks about how the grave actually talks to the person in front of them. Now, when we talk about inanimate things speaking, like the chair speaks, right? My foot speaks, for example. In the next world, that is all possible. Today, if something, this carpets are speaking to us, we'll all go pretty crazy. Okay? But we know that this does happen in this world. The Prophet, right? There is was a tree stump that used to give the khutbah. The sermon at,
And then when he left it, they said that that tree stump started to moan, right? They hear the noise coming from it, from the Prophet not being there anymore. Okay? It's like this karama, these things does happen, but it's not really things that happen every single day. In the next world, rules of physics and all these type of things don't really apply. As the Prophet talked about on the day, or the Allah talks about on the day of judgment, that people's feet, people's hands will speak. And they will say, yes, use my hand to do this. But the foot will speak, say, yes, I used to walk to this place, used to walk to that place, right? It will testify against you, or it will testify for you, right? That you used to use it to walk to a class on Sunday mornings, right? Or to the masjid, or to help this person, okay? So here the Prophet says here that the Messenger of Allah entered his musalla, his prayer area, and saw the people were looking as they were smiling. They're having a good time, okay? Which is not wrong. So he said, indeed, if you were to increase in the remembrance of the severe of pleasure, meaning death, it doesn't matter if people are having a party or graduation, if someone dies, they cancel the party, right? It kills the whole moment, right? Literally kills, right? From the whole moment. That when death comes, people's faces change. So the Prophet is saying, indeed, if you were to increase in the remembrance of death, that death is going to come to all of you, right? Then you find yourself too busy from what I see. You won't laugh very much. Like I said, there's nothing wrong with laughing. They're trying to make a point here. So increase in the remembrance of death and the severe of pleasures. Just always remember that. Because today in this world, especially here in America, there's too many things to pull you away from the serious of the next world. There's too much movies out there, too much sports events out here, music, everything, malls, you know, desserts. You could really get caught up in this and forget that, oh, where am I at? Am I really preparing for the next world, right? So for indeed, there is no day that comes upon the grave except it speaks saying, I am the house of the estranged. I am the house of the solitude, person will be by themselves. I'm the house of dust. Your body will become dust, right? Dirt. I'm the house of the worm eating. Right? Worms actually eat our bodies, okay? Right? When the believing worshiper is buried, so when a Muslim that believes in Allah is buried, the grave says to him, welcome, make yourself comfortable. We wanted you to be here. Indeed, to me, you are the most beloved that walked on upon me. The grave will say, the grave technically is dirt, right? So the dirt is like earth. You're the best that used to walk on top of me. Now you're here with me. Since you have been entrusted to me and delivered to me today, you shall see what I have arranged for you. It will be widened for him, so the grave will be expanded. Nobody wants to be in a small little, you know, hole in the ground. And so his sight, and to, so that his sight extends, you can see far away, and the doors of paradise are open for him. And then the Prophet said, I guess I didn't put the other side. But anyhow, and then when the disbeliever comes in, it's the opposite. But the Prophet says that the person says, you are the worst that walked upon me. And the grave is squeezed together. And the Prophet says in the hadith, and he locked his fingers like this, that the person's rib bones will come together and be squeezed, right? And it will be squeezed for them, and an opening of hellfire will be there for them. So yes, this is not actually angels. This is actually a grave that's speaking to them. 2 weeks ago, we talked about how the angels will say something similar to them, if you will. So the grave itself, in that life there that the people are in, is speaking to them. Next thing that we have here, people always like to ask about this stuff. All right, do the souls get to meet each other? You always hear this, you know, someone passes away, oh, inshallah, they're going to be with their husband again. They're going to be with their wife again. Oh, they're going to see their children, their child that died last year. You know, alhamdulillah, you know. Now, that's good to say that, you know what I mean, etc. But is that really true? So we have a hadith here where the Prophet talks about something very interesting here, where he says, when the believer is dying, the angels of mercy come to him with white silk and say, come out, similar to the other hadith we took. Come out content with the pleasure of Allah. Upon you to the mercy of Allah. Fragrance of the and a Lord who is not angry with you. So the fragrance of Jannah, everything is there. The angels are telling the soul, come out. Then it passes from one to another, different angels, until they bring them to the gate of heaven, where it says, how good a fragrance is this? That has come from the earth. Then the soul of the believers come to him. So other souls see the soul. And they come to them, rushing, right? They're happy. And they rejoice over him. That anyone who rejoices when their absent loved one is comes to them. They're so happy, right? They ask him, what happened to so-and-so? You know, we knew this person that used to live. Are they, what happened to them, right? And they said, let him be. He has been in the hardship of the world. He went through a long process. Start, don't bombard him with questions yet, right? And then the person, the new soul, would say, how about my friend? Did he come yet? Like, he died before me. Did you see Ahmed? Did you see Mustafa? Did you see John? Right? He died before me. Did you guys see him? They said, nay, no, we did not. He was taken to the pit of the hellfire. Because the only ones that are celebrating what are all the believers, right? So he would say, well, you know, this person was there. Like, why is he not amongst us? I don't see him here. Right? They said, no, he didn't make it. We never saw him come by us. Meaning that what? He was never allowed to come amongst the group of the believers. So what this hadith is very interesting here. Number one, it shows that the souls are gathered together. When you pass away and you're in that darla or barzakh, you're in this abode, that all the righteous souls, those of really believers, are together. You will see your family. You will see those, your friends, as long as they're, you know, we're good souls, inshallah ta'ala. And they will talk. And another hadith mentions that, how about this person? Did they marry? Right? Did they do this? And the person will tell them the news about all the people that happened back then. Like, yeah, that's my son now. He's a, whatever, he's an engineer now. This person, yeah, they finally got married, mashallah. This person's doing this, right? They're asked all these questions. So alhamdulillah, that shows that the souls will actually meet and discuss things. Because one thing, you know, that people always say this, you know, oh, I wish my father was alive that could see his grandchildren. I wish this person was alive, they could see myself on my wedding day. You know what I mean? I wish this person was alive, they could see this. So it makes sense. That's why when the souls come together, they ask all these questions. How was this? How was this? You know, how many questions are they going to ask? It'll be like forever, you know? Like, there's so many things to ask about. But one thing we see, that at least they'll be together. So that's kind of a enjoyment, that the good souls will be amongst other good souls, family members and friends. But just how you see here, he'll say, what happened to the other person? He died before me. He said, no, he didn't make it. He wasn't amongst us. He got took to the hellfire. Not that they're in hell, meaning that they're being punished. Sorry, say it again. Oh, the souls? So the souls, I don't know how the souls are age-wise. Us, we have physical bodies. We get gray hair, right? Our skin wrinkles. Souls don't have necessarily skin and wrinkles and gray hair. So how are they looking? How does a soul look at another soul? I can't answer that question. I don't even know how they look. I don't think there's anything really mentioned about that. It does mention that we met before, that the soul has a fragrance, smell. It talked about how the best of clothes are putting over them. Now, if the soul has arms and legs like a person, then Allahu Allah. But it said that a garment is put over them. I'll assume they have some type of roundness to them, right?
You would know, like Casper?
I don't know.
The cartoon?
Yeah. We don't know. So so I don't know how they're looking at each other. SubhanAllah. That's a very good question. I don't know. But we know they're gathered. They're looking at each other, right? And so, and I don't know if souls have age at all. I don't, they're just, but that's a really good point. As the scholar said, that souls, once they're created, they don't have no end. They're forever, right? That's why people will be in Jannah and Jahannam forever, etc. So I don't think they age from what I know in terms of Allahu Alam. But that's why Allah says in the Quran, we opened up 2 weeks ago, that Allah says sort of Isra, that people don't have much knowledge about the souls except a little. You know, we only can guess after that, right? But here, at least this gives a lot of very good detail that actually, there is bliss in the grave, right? You know, well, we all know it has a very negative connotation to it, but there is like enjoyment. People will see their mother, people will see their father, their children, you know, that maybe if they pass before them, you know, or they'll be reunited when their children pass away and their parents like see like, wow, like, you know, alhamdulillah, the souls recognize each other, right? So that is something that I look for. I think everyone loves, you know, everyone knows like when they go to the grave, they, you know, they want to be with their loved ones, right? So this is actually a reuniting of the fleets of the souls, that could happen. But inshallah, this really kind of mentions that here. There's a lot of narrations that kind of mention this. Inshallah, Ta'ala will be able to do that. And of course, people those go good souls. So it also kind of means another point here, that the souls will be kind of like, you know, spending time with each other, right? It's not in necessary solitude, but there will be other souls. They're talking and they're dialoguing and so forth. So doesn't mean that when you're in the Dar of Barzakh, you're by yourself. We talked about there's a companion there that's a good deed. So you have one person to talk to. But it kind of mentioned that the other souls are there also. Like you can kind of have, like a gathering, if you will. You have comfort, if you will. So subhanAllah, that's something to look forward to. And we ask Allah subhanAllah to give us that enjoyment, inshallah ta'ala. The last thing, I don't have the next couple of slides here. What I wanted to go over is a little bit on the resurrection. Because what goes on in the, else in the grave, it's kind of mostly covered here. Like I was kind of saying, it's one of the hardest classes I have to prepare for because a lot of these things I mentioned with stuff in the grave, usually are narrations that have a lot of weakness to it, or they're not all said by the Prophet. You see, like scholars have said some of this, and a lot of people think what's kind of going on. So you really have to sift through a lot of information, which takes a lot of time. There's one talk about that said, the neighbor of the next great grave over, can you communicate with them? Could their blessings transfer over to you, right? Could they ask Allah to protect that person? So, and you see a lot of the narrations aren't necessarily, authentic, etc. So, one that we'll go over is the resurrection. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after now the people are in this Dar al-Barzakh, we talked about how that the trumpet will be blown to end the world. Remember we talked about that? There was an angel that's going to blow the trumpet. Anyone remember the name of the angel? Israfil, very good, Brother Johan. Right, so Israfil blows this trumpet and the whole world ends, and we kind of went over that before, right? Everyone will fall down, whoever's alive at that time, okay? And then there's a hadith that mentions that he will wait 40. So the hadith only mentions the word 40, and then he will blow the trumpet again. So the Prophet ﷺ mentions in the hadith here that between the two trumpet blasts, there'll be 40, okay? Didn't say years, didn't say minutes, didn't say centuries, didn't say weeks. There'll be 40, subhanAllah. Right? So there's a moment where everything passes away. And we talked about, there's a verse in the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, the trumpet will be blown and all that's in the heaven, in the skies and the earth will fall down except whoever Allah wills. This is where the scholars go into big detail and discussion about what do you mean by only what Allah wills. So who is there that stays alive? We talked about the one blowing the trumpet kind of has to stay alive because he has to finish blowing. And he has to blow it again. So if he's dead, then Allah has to make angel Israfil to come back alive to blow it again. Right? So, and then some people say that the prophets they stay alive in their grave or wherever they're at. Some people say what's in Jannah, right? The servants are in Jannah, so they stay alive. Some people say certain angels stay alive, the angels of the throne, the angels that hold the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they stay alive. It's kind of a very long discussion, but it's not super important. But what is mentioned that after 40, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands Israfil to blow the trumpet again, okay? And so he blows it again. And everyone in the grave, just like plants in the ground, will come up, if you will. Now this is where it comes very, very interesting. There's a very, very amazing hadith here. Where the Prophet said, between the two trumpet blasts, there are 40. Then water will come from the sky. So everything's done. Like everyone's gone from the earth. It's literally dead silence, right? There's nothing there. And then rain will come down, whenever that comes, 40 years, whatever. Rain will come down, water will come down. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make water come down. And then he said, the people will grow like herbs, like plants. There's no part of a man, look what the Prophet says, there's no part of a man that does not disintegrate, come blown away, just disintegrate into pieces. After he dies, except one bone in the body, and which is a coccyx. C O CCYX is a very weird American word. The coccyx is your tailbone right here. It's in the back. Okay, everyone knows their tailbone. Here. And then from this, he said, they will be created anew and the day of resurrection will start. That means that you'll be created a new body. Okay. But it's still being created from, even though we're in the next world now, right? So we're gone from the Barzakh and now we're in the next realm, if you will. Okay. You know, what is that exactly? No, it's a good, but now we're not the souls. We're a body now. So he's saying that a new body will be grown for each one of us. From that tailbone that's in the back of you, the coccyx. And there's some medical stuff, and I'll let you guys Google this and search around. But they said that in that bone is like certain type of DNA and so forth of that person. If you have that, you could resurrect the person. Not resurrect the person, but you'll know all the characteristics of that person. Right? Their, whatever it is. I'm not a medical doctor, but whatever. Their blood type and they're this tall, whatever they were. So it's interesting, the Prophet ﷺ 1400 years ago talks about that one bone. Didn't say like your finger bone, didn't say your heart, your brain, you know, your spinal bone. You think the spine has all these kind of, you know, interesting things in it that's really important for a person. But he talks about this coccyx. And so the, you could look it up, like the medical elite that's known to have certain type of blood or something like that in there that's stored in there that you could actually extract the person, know a lot about them. So here from this hadith here, we talk about people will become out of their grave. I know this has a whole Halloween twist to it, but anyhow. Right? People will come out of their graves and will be grown anew. That means that you won't come out as a baby, you'll start growing up and you'll come out as something like as a tree, like almost like plants do. And you'll come to this full, you know, size, if you will. Okay. Some people say, hold on, if someone died when they're 60 something years old, will they be resurrected with gray hair and the way they were? No. The Prophet talks about you, how you'll be a new creation, right? If you think about it, it's still a bone that was in the previous world, right? So it's all, that bone is still there. That's being used to resurrect you again. So you have a body. What's understood that you have a body just like you kind of see today, but you'll be like in a normal structure, not necessarily old or a baby, but like a, whatever, your prime youth or something like that, if you will, or your adulthood, if you will.
It's one of the main reasons why Muslims don't burn.
You know, one thing is that why do we not cremate? Okay. Brother Johan is asking our bodies. Number one, the Prophet never did it. If we don't have it in the Quran, we don't have it in the Sunnah. But even if somebody would cremate, and certain of the bones do break up, don't they? Or yeah, right, melts up or something. They're all called ashes afterwards. Yeah, but so here is that. Why don't we do that? Well, one thing is that it could be because multiple reasons. One thing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about, or the hadith talks about, sorry, about the ikram or the honoring of the of humans, right? It's the best of creation. So out of that mercy, we don't burn our bodies. It's seen as a negative. It's seen as something like, you know, you have a structure, so you honor. Even when someone passes away, you still be very delicate to the body. You wash it very nicely. You put it in the coffin. We don't put, you know, a tuxedo on the body, but you know, you dress it right, you put a good smelling thing, you have honor for it. Therefore, burning it is something that's kind of seen as, you know, as a disrespect to the body. That's why the Prophet says that even when you kill somebody or you're in a war, you don't burn them, right? You don't burn people. You could fight, you could chop them out, you could, you know, stab them, etc., right? But you shouldn't burn people as they should not be, you should not be tortured by fire. Out of the honor of just of the human being itself, that you shouldn't do that. So there's even that in warfare we have these type of things, right? So I think that's where that comes really comes from. So you might ask the question now, those people that were cremated, their bones is not whole anymore. Well, we all know how to answer that question, right? If Allah created us from nothing before, as he says in the Quran many places, I can create you again from nothing as you were. Right? So it doesn't matter if someone, you know, was drowned out in the sea and they never found their body, or exploded in a plane, or got shot off to space and we don't know where they are. A lot of that's easy for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. God Almighty could do that. It's not really a trial or a test. Right? But that's a good point that you brought up there, right? So we'll have this new creation that everybody will be created with. You have like this new body. Okay? Whether you're breathing oxygen or you have blood in your body, Allah, I don't know if you even need that anymore, but you have a body. That's what we understand. Okay. So who from the resurrection now, so imagine how many people are coming out from the ground now, right? That is, you know, a crazy sight. We're going to go this over next week is that when people are resurrected, what are they seeing? A lot talks about mountains being, you know, brought down to dust. We talk about the moon and the sun, which is interesting. The Prophet Allah talks about the moon and the sun. That means it's still there somehow. You know, that even when people are resurrected, but they'll be crashing into each other. And stars will be falling down. So it almost seems like the universe is kind of still there, even though the world comes to an end. Right? Which is, you know, very interesting to think about. So we'll go over that next week. But here, this people come up. Now imagine how many people that is. And I think all of us have probably been to a big crowd before, whether Hajj, or we went to a sporting event, or Eid prayer. You know, you can get lost really quick. Imagine how many billions, you can even say trillions of, yeah, I don't know if that's a trillion, but of people that are coming out, like literally leaves like out of the ground, right? That will all come out. How many people will be there? It'll be massive. They're coming at a stampede. People are not going to come out and like, oh, wow. People are going to be running like crazy because it's this massive pandemonium. Maybe you have the sun and the moon crashing into each other. People are trying to find who? Their loved ones or like someone they know to help them, right? So people are probably just going to be smashing into each other and try to climb over each other. It's subhanAllah, I mean, I'll protect us on that day, but it's going to be, you know, quite crazy. Before we get to that, rolled over is that who will be the first person that will be resurrected? And the Prophet kind of mentions this so on that day. And the Prophet mentions that he will be the first person that will be resurrected of all of mankind before anyone else is, if you will. So there's the hadith of the Prophet where he says, I will be the leader of the children of Adam, the human beings, right? That's the term of the children of Adam means everyone comes from Adam. So we're all human beings. I will be the leader of the children of Adam on the day of resurrection. And the first one of the grave to be split open. The first one of the grave, the person to come with us, if you will. And the one to intercede, and the first one to whose intercession will be accepted. We're going to get into this later on, about the, called the shafa'ah of the Prophet, so intercession. Where the Prophet will ask Allah, forgive my ummah. And then Allah will accept that. Now, that forgiveness is, who is that for? Is that for me and you? Is it only for certain people? That discussion will come soon, inshallah. But from here, though, he's saying that I'm the first one that'll be resurrected. With a very interesting hadith, that he also says that the trumpet will be blown. There's another hadith in Sahih Bukhari and Sahih Muslim. The trumpet will be blown, and everyone in the heavens and earth will fall unconscious, except for Allah wills, and we already went over that will. Then the trumpet will be blown a second time. I will be the first one to be resurrected. He'll come out. But then he says, I will see Musa alayhi salam holding on to the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I don't know whether he was excused, he was one of the people that was accepted and didn't fall down, or that he was he was resurrected before me. So interesting. We have both of these. The scholars said the Prophet is the first one, and then Musa alayhi salam was, I guess, right after that or something like that. What's really interesting about this hadith, what did the Prophet say saw Musa alayhi salam doing? Holding the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We talked about we're going to come from what? The ground, right? From our coccyx bone, just as the plant grows up. So this is the Prophet, the same thing. He will come back up. It does mention also that the Prophet says that the bodies of the prophets don't get eaten by the ground. Okay, they don't disintegrate. I think I mentioned this 2 weeks ago, that if you would go and find the grave of Ibrahim alayhi salam, for example, and you open it up, and nobody should do this and this again, the body will be exactly how the way that he passed away. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, same thing. He'll open the grave exactly the day that he passed away 1400 years ago. Right? Why is that though? It is an honor that Allah gave to the Prophet because they're special people. So as an honor that they don't have to go with their body being disrespected by worms eating it and so forth. Right? Nobody wants to see somebody's loved one, you know, and that's their bodies, you know, all eaten up and something like that. So all the prophets, the ground does not eat them up. So it kind of makes sense that the prophets are the first ones to come up because they don't really need to take time to resurrect because they're already there already. So they can really honestly kind of pop up the ground and they're like, we're ready to go, right? Their body has not been disintegrated. So when the Prophet comes up and he sees Musa alayhi salam, it could be that all the prophets are kind of like up at the beginning. The second main point from this hadith, which I don't know if you caught it, And when the Prophet comes up, he's resurrected, and he sees Musa alayhi salam, and we're talking about what was he doing? He's holding on to the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Which means what? When people are resurrected, where's the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at that time? It's there. So people are going to come up and they probably will see, now maybe not see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they might see a covering of light, but the throne is there. You know how you go in a courtroom and you have, I don't know what the thing is called, the judge sits on them, some, maybe a pulpit or something, I don't know what that's called. But when you come into the courtroom because you're going to get judged, the day of resurrection, you're going to resurrect it because of what? We're going to get judged, right? It's a big courtroom. But it's just the whole world. It's a land there because everyone's about to get judged. So it only makes sense that there's a throne there and the judge, who is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is about to conduct what we all know that's about to conduct. So imagine that he comes up and you see Musa alayhi salam there holding it. At least, you know, hold on to the side of the honor, and everybody would want to hold on to the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also, we'll see some other hadith that comes later on. We'll discuss it next week, hopefully, or the week after, where it talks about the seven groups of people that have the shade of the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day when people are resurrected. So it kind of means that what? When people are resurrected, there's going to be certain shade. And where's that shade coming from? It's from the throne, it's from Allah's throne. That's blocking the sun or whatever the heat at that time. So it kind of means that, you know, it's like one big courtroom and you have this throne that's there. It's amazing to think about, you know, just to see that in the first place, right? So that is going to be one of the, we call it one of the views of the people coming up on that day. Just think about that for kind of a minute, right?
How is that connected with the fact that during the Miraj, the ascension to heaven, Prophet Muhammad saw Prophet Musa there. Yeah, so how is that to understand in this context?
Well, now it's a whole, that was like
all the prophets were in their graves, but
right. On the, so yeah. So that's a greater question that probably came up. So how on Isra and Mi'raj, when the Prophet went up to the different skies, right? So now what? Different skies. He saw Musa, Ibrahim, he saw different, right? So this could be that this was in the form of their souls, like you see, not their bodies. The bodies are in the grave, right? So he's seeing whatever that, like I said, question that was just asking, how does the soul look? But it was enough that he recognized that was Ibrahim alayhi salam. So that's how we would explain that, if you will. So their souls is in those type of guys, if you will. So we did talk about that before, where their soul passes away. The soul goes up to different skies and they go back down. If you guys remember that we talked about how the angels will open up the door to every sky and then it'll go back down to them. So for the prophets, they get the honor to stay there. That's a kind of like their barzakh, if you will. Mm-hmm. Right? So that's one thing we can understand.
But it was also the prophet's soul that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well,
yeah, I mean, it's hard to.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. The question that people say, was it a dream or was it a real thing? Yeah. That's true. That's very good. That's a good point. Very good. Isra Mi'raj is a very interesting. So the sister brought up, which is a very good question, is that the Prophet saw like the hair of Isa alayhi salam. He said that he looked like me. That's what he said, right? And then he saw the other prophets. When the Prophet said that he saw Isa alayhi salam and he looked like me, that is actually was not in the skies. If you guys remember, that is
there
was mentioned in Masjid Aqsa when he led the Salah. He said, I saw Isa alayhi salam, he looked like me. So, still though, he probably would be a soul at that time, not necessarily a body. So, which is kind of interesting. Yeah, that's another thing. Man. Just when it's not souls, guys.
Also, one other question, I mean, it's a bit unrelated, but just like out of interest. What is the Islamic standpoint on the belief in potential extraterrestrial life? I mean, anywhere else in the universe. And how does that, I mean, would the day of resurrection, would that be applicable exactly at the same time for whatever is out there?
Brother Johan is asking about extraterrestrial life. Aliens, like what we would call.
And we don't know how big the universe is.
We don't know how big the universe
is. Not on aliens, how about the genes?
Okay. I'm talking about really about life on another planet.
So one thing I was about to go over also is that when people are resurrected, the scholars talked about who else is resurrected.
So they do talk about that though, when the people come up, jinns will also be resurrected. Now, jinns don't have bones, so let's not get to how they're resurrected, but they're there. Okay, they come back. So we have humans, we have jinns, and they talk about animals will be resurrected too. We talk about the day of judgment, they will be judged, right? But they'll turn into dust. There's no jannah for them, there's no heaven for them, there's no hellfire for them, right? So how about if the main question is asked, is there any life outside earth that we know from? Now, I think Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah, and hopefully somewhere I correct myself, I could look this up, but when he was going over the tafsir of, when he mentioned the tafsir of Surah Fatiha, he said, Rabbil Alameen, the Lord of the Alameen. What does Alameen mean? Alameen means world. It's plural, not this world, right? So he said that is an indication that there's other worlds where something's living. So whether that means Pluto, whether that means Jupiter, but we know, we talked about also that there's seven skies that Allah made. Saba Samawat. Now I always say this, and if you took my classes long enough, you know that I always make the distinction. It's not heavens. If you read any of the translations in the Quran, they say seven heavens. It's not. It's a very bad translation. It's not, has nothing to do with Jannah. They're not heavens. The word is Samawat. Sama in Arabic means sky. So there's seven skies above us. Realms, if you will. And we talked about 2 weeks ago when the soul goes up to the first sky, it said, this is a good soul. And the angel said, okay, come up. He goes to the second sky. It says, this is a good soul. And the angel said, okay, you come up. Until he gets to the seventh, which is kind of what understood that's like the limit. And then Allah says, write his name in, you know, Illiyin, right? The good book, and send him back down. And so the soul goes back down into the box. So it hits the limit. It can't go there. Now, what's going on in the second, the third, or fourth, or fifth of those skies? Allahu Akbar. We have no idea, really. So does it mean that they will also be resurrected? Well, what we all know from this and what we took so far, that Allah, the Prophet is only talking about, Allah is only talking about the Quran, that people will be brought up from the earth. He didn't say Ardeen. Ardeen will be the plural of the word Ard, right? He only talks about the earth. He doesn't say Alameen. Everyone will be resurrected. So the judgment, the resurrection is only for this world that we understand. Maybe the other skies that have their own day of judgment that hadn't happened yet or whatever, they're going through a different, Allah, I don't know, no one really has much evidence of that. So what's really understand here is this, that, you know, even says it here, like, you know, earth, that you return to the earth. So it only talks about this earth here. We don't have that word Alameen brought it in any of these narrations here.
So there's nothing that like prohibits, like just from a pure religious point of view, that prohibits us to believe or to think that there is potential, that's what
Ibn Qayyim Rahimah says, because of
this universe, yes, and how far, yeah, away we cannot even imagine
you will not be like be outside the fold of Islam if you think that there's aliens or there's other life forms. There's reason for that. I think Ibn Qayyim Rahimahullah mentioned that Alameen means that there is others.
Yes.
Now where that it kind of stops there, you know, right. So we could do believe that, you know, I mean, whether they visit us and there's UFOs and stuff, man, we all could argue about that.
Oh, that's a more like a scientific.
Yeah, that's more like
religiously, yes.
Yes. Absolutely. Right, right, right. Definitely. We could definitely understand that. Yeah. So anyhow, extra information here. So the Prophet ﷺ is the first one to be resurrected. You see Musa alayhi salam, right? And then it talks about how we'll be resurrected. I'll go over these couple last points here. So one thing the Prophet mentioned, that people will be resurrected barefoot, naked, and uncircumcised. I mean, like you'll come as a, like, you know, we're all born without no clothes, right? So people will be resurrected like that. They'll come out with no clothes on and just, you know, as if they, you know, come straight from the grave, even though they have a body. That makes everyone feel really uncomfortable, obviously. Nobody wants to see themselves, you know, undressed in front of others, obviously. So Aisha, the wife of the Prophet, had the same question. She's thinking about it. Obviously, she's a woman, but I mean, guys, still, we don't want to. You have the same point also, right? But she was asking the Prophet, mankind will be resurrected, you know, barefoot, naked, uncircumcised. Like, you know, this the way that you basically came from your mother. That's what she's trying to say. This is the way that the day you were born. Then the Prophet said, then she said, men and women together? And look at her modesty. Now, this is absurd to even think about this, right? So men and women together looking at each other, Ya Rasulullah, like he's telling the Prophet, how are they people looking at each other? So the Prophet says, Oh Aisha,
The matter on that day will be so distressful. People don't are not looking at each other. They don't care, right? Because you have your God resurrected, and you see the throne there. You know judgment's about to come, right? You have the talk about the sun and the moon, all this kind of chaos going on. You have people trampling, trying to find their loved ones or someone they could relate to. Where am I supposed to go? I don't know, right? They don't care if you're wearing clothes, black, white hair. It doesn't matter. Nothing really matters there. You're just in chaos. It's like when an earthquake hits or a building's falling down, right? You're not looking at the person like, oh, wow, you have yellow shoes on? You're just trying to get out of the way, you know? And so that's not what's important. Now, are we going to be dressed though? So then there's that issue there where the Prophet says that there'll be clothes according to the people's ranks on the Day of Judgment. So they talk about the Prophet mentioned in the Hadith that the first person, the first of the creation to be clothed on the day was Ibrahim alayhi salam. The Prophet Abraham, he'll have clothes on the first day. This is an honor to him, if you will. And then it's mentioned that other people will have clothes according to their rank, prophets, etc. And so forth. I think Dr. Siddiqui doesn't have class today.
No.
Right, doesn't have.
Yeah,
no problem. There's no, Dr. Singh doesn't have class today.
No, but no class here.
Yeah. So, that's where kind of, I wanted to allude a little bit on the day of the resurrection before we go any further. But, so at least we know now that how we're going to be resurrected up, how, who the first one is going to be resurrected, how people physically will look and how they'll have clothes later on. Next week we'll go over to like how things look like. What kind of things will happen? We'll talk about the shade of the Allah on the day. We'll talk about also, we'll start getting into when the Day of Judgment will start, how people will line up behind their prophets and so forth. And then to also talk about after that is that how the judgment will take place. So who goes first, who goes second, arguments that will happen on that day between people, right? We'll talk about the scale. We'll also want to talk about the mizan in the Quran, right? So the scale of good deeds and bad deeds, how does that look like? What actually weighed on that, if you will, right? There's different narrations on that. And so we'll start getting to all these different things before we start getting to the description of Jannah and Jahannam, which will be the last of our discussion, inshallah ta'ala, for this course. Questions or comments? A lot today. I kind of went over, subhanAllah. Like the most important thing, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to rise us up in a great state and keep us protected. But any questions from anyone? No, Hector, it might be Natalie. Oh, no. No, I don't do really. My other classes I do quizzes, but not because of this. It's kind of, I think we did one. We did a fun one. I think we did.
We did
Kahoot. I don't know if you know Kahoot.
After this.
Yeah, so I'll probably do a Kahoot for you guys. And we had food and stuff afterwards. So. Kahoot is just, use your phone to answer the questions. That's just no greater. You have a question?
Oh, yeah.
About
the cremation. How come it's.
This is, like I said, so one thing as Muslim, we only kind of follow with the Prophet Muhammad, how he did things. And so he never did it. And I kind of mentioned that, it was more from the honoring of the body, that you place it, you take care of it, you put it, of course, you have to put it in the ground. You can't just put it anywhere. So ground, even though that's kind of disrespectful, because it's a ground, but, we're not going to keep it in a refrigerator for, obviously that would take so long to preserve people. We don't mummify, even though it's there was, a civilization that did that. But they still put it in the ground, anyhow. But so we have the honor of the body because this is one of the best of God's creation is human beings, right? Above animals, above mountains, above rivers, etc. And so as an honor, we do not cremate the body, burn the body as a disrespect and keep it there. I could look a little bit more if anything that the Prophet mentioned directly on this. I'm trying to remember from the top of my head, but maybe I could research that a little bit more for next week, inshallah. But that's kind of like one of the things that how we do it. So. That's a verse in Surah Taha, chapter number 20 in the Quran, where Allah says that from it we made you, from it you shall return, and from it we shall resurrect you again. Right?
So yeah, that's actually, you just quoted a verse without knowing you quoted a verse. So that's actually mentioned in the Quran. So kind of makes sense that we go back to it, if you will. We're made from, same thing as Christianity. We're made from clay and dirt, et cetera. So that's actually a good point, actually. Cool. Any other things before we go? Just another note, Dr. Zeki doesn't have class today, unfortunately. I don't know if you guys knew that. Okay, but anyhow, alhamdulillah. So at the end, we'll make dua. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, Ya Ghafoor. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we ask you to send your peace and blessings on the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those who have passed before us, we ask you to give them nur in the grave, put light in the grave, make it wide. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we ask you to protect them from the punishment of the grave. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we ask you to forgive us for our wrongdoings, protect us from the punishment of the grave, and we ask for your Jannah and your Paradise, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun, wa salamun alal mursaleen, walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. May Allah bless all you guys, inshallah. We'll see you guys next Sunday. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Anyone online have questions? I did not hear anything, so we'll see you next week, guys.